Today is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. Scripture lessons are from Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 12, and the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Today's message is titled, Forgive as Forgiven. Genesis chapter 50, beginning at verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong things we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When the message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good and to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Here ends the reading from Genesis. Psalm 103, a psalm of David, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. Here ends the reading from Psalm 103. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay you back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, He grabbed him, began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help, for you the only one, for you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can, and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. Martin Luther's prayer and ours. History. History has been made. History that records events that made been made known because of history. And the kind of history I'm speaking of is feuds. Feuds. Where disagreements, arguments, they just escalated and escalated, would not stop, and they escalated until this terrible bloodshed, terrible destruction. I mean, now if I were to give you a pop quiz, give you a sheet of paper and a pencil or pen, and I say, "Cell phones away, no cell phones, no cheating," what would you write down? Now, I hazard a guess. I'm being nice. I'm not giving you the pop quiz. But if we did, I hazard the guess, one of the first things you write down would be the Hatfields and McCoys. That's an argument. But would any of you had written down Edison and Tesla? Yeah, Edison and Tesla, they had quite a feud going on. I mean, Edison in his DC current, Tesla in his AC current. I mean, the War of Roses. Would you have written that one down? Pitting the House of York against the House of Lancaster. And then brought to the forefront recently with Lin-Manuel Miranda's Tony Award musical, Hamilton. That feud between Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton. Burr's beef with Hamilton's influence over the Federalist Party, causing Burr's defeats for president and other things. And he killed Hamilton. A brilliant, brilliant founding father. I mean, there's more. There's the Campbells and the McDonalds. There's Kira Yoshinasha and the 47 Ronin. There's the Clan K versus the Clan Chetan. That one was settled by building a wall to enclose a battlefield. And 30 men from each clan were put into that wall, and they'd battle to the death inside that walled enclosure. And that battle is known as the Battle of North Inch. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. How many of these events of history, could have taken a different path or a different series of events just if forgiveness was offered? Just if the anger, the hatred, the egos, I mean, egos. Yes, egos fit in there. Edison and Tesla, it was about egos. I mean, two brilliant inventors working with electricity and Tesla working with that high energy physics. Imagine if they had worked side by side with their brilliance. What would have happened? What could have came to be if they could have just put their feud aside, their egos aside, and worked together? But forgiveness, it's not easy. Never has been, but there's real hurts, there's real pains, whether emotional or physical. The hurts are real. And to forgive, you mean I'm to forgive that? And then the expletives fly with the blast of anger fueled by the pain. I'm to forgive that? If anyone had a case for not forgiving, it would be Joseph. I mean, he'd be way at the top of that list. Even if Joseph may have been an obnoxious brat strutting around in that coat of grandeur filled with colors and ornamentation, did Joseph deserve what his older brothers did to him? I can tell you, as a person with a younger brother and an older brother, I was caught in the middle many times. And the arguments went both directions, both the younger brother, older brother, they can be a pain in the keister. And when that pain in the keister continues, do I have to forgive my brother up to seven times? Now, for Peter to ask that question of Jesus, I wonder what Andrew had been up to such annoying of Peter that he would ask, Lord, forgive my brother seven times? I mean, we don't know if Peter had other brothers. We know Andrew, Andrew, James, John, Peter. I mean, all those Greeks. Forgive my brother seven times. Anyways, Joseph, he irritated his older brothers so much, he ratted on them. His brothers, concerning their lack of due diligence in caring for the flocks. I mean, Genesis chapter 37 has all the details of the relationship of Joseph with his father Jacob and his brothers. I mean, Joseph, he was loved by his father more than all the others. Easy to see and know. Everyone knew that in that richly ornate coat. I mean, it just proved it. Joseph, not the firstborn of all the brothers, but he was the firstborn of beloved Rachel. Then those dreams of Joseph. He just had to tell his brothers, hey, your sheaves, bow down to my sheave. Hey, I had another dream. You know, the sun, the moon, the stars, they all bow down to me. I mean, oh, the hatred of the brothers grew, and it grew and it grew and grew. When the opportune time came, the brothers jumped into action. When that dreamer arrived to where they were tending the flocks, they said, here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him and throw him into the cistern. We'll say a ferocious animal killed him and devoured him, and then what will come of his dreams? That history is recorded in Genesis 37. Reuben, the oldest, stepped in and tries to rescue Joseph. Don't shed any blood. A little while later, a caravan comes by, and they sold their brother into slavery for 20 shekels of silver, or essentially 2 shekels of silver for each of the 10 older brothers. The robe was destroyed, torn to shreds, and dipped in blood. That's to be evidence of Joseph's demise at the wild creatures. I mean, then taken to Egypt, sold to Potiphar, lied about and thrown into jail. He interprets dreams and then forgotten about. I mean, 2 full years pass in prison until the cupbearer of Pharaoh finally remembers, oh, Joseph can interpret dreams. All told, 13 years of slavery in prison for Joseph. And now we quickly jump and those 22 years have passed. Famine has reached the land of his family in Canaan. To Egypt, Jacob sends the 10 brothers for grain. They do not recognize Joseph, but he knows them. He recognizes them. He won't forget their faces. The events of the family eventually flow to settling in Egypt. And these are found in Genesis chapter 42 through 45. I recommend reading Genesis this afternoon, portions of it, chapter 37 and then 42 through 45, to hear the history. Now, here's the key to understanding Joseph. And this is what he said in his life, starting at verse 7 of Genesis 45. This is Joseph understanding his own life. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you for a remnant on earth and to save our lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. You mean all that prison time, all that slavery, all that? It was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph said. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. God is at work in this. The family is brought to Egypt and well provided for there. Time passes, Jacob dies. The brothers began to worry. Father's dead. What will Joseph do to us? The brothers are fearful. Joseph was just biding his time. Father's gone. Now Joseph will repay us. He will repay us. You know that I don't get mad, I get even. Is that what will happen? The brothers hatch a plan. They send a message to Joseph. Your father left these instructions before he died. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Joseph had the power in his hands to totally destroy his brothers. Joseph has the full authority of Egypt he could wield against his brothers. What would you do? What have you done to your own siblings for the wrongs they have done to you? Have you forgiven them? How many families have years passed with unforgiveness dividing the siblings or parent and child or separating cousins? How many years pass with unforgiveness ruling in the families? Is it worth it? Is it truly worth carrying that grudge? Science has shown holding on to grudges, it hurts you. It's detrimental to your health. It increases stress, high blood pressure, heart problems, lowers immunity, causes depression. And that's just listing a few. But more than that, is it worth having families broken apart by unforgiveness? One men's health article said this, holding a grudge is like swallowing poison and expecting the other person to be hurt by it. I mean, you swallow the poison and you expect the other person to be hurt by you swallowing the poison. That's what a grudge is like. When reading these health articles and all these various articles, they also write about the way to help your health is forgiveness. Yet very few write about the basis of forgiveness. They just say, forgiveness is good for you. But they miss the baseness and only the Judeo-Christian faith perspective is the true basis for forgiveness. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Matthew 18, verse 21. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Joseph had a much better understanding than Peter. In response to Peter, Jesus gives the parable of the kingdom of heaven is like a king settling accounts. One owed the king a huge sum, unable to pay. The king ordered the whole family sold to pay the debt. The servant pleads for patience in paying back. And then Matthew chapter 18, verse 27. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. The NASB 95, Matthew chapter 18, verse 27. And the Lord of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. From the Greek word order, and this is how this part starts. Having been moved by compassion. It's that Greek word that talks about the seat of emotions. And it all comes out from the innermost part of the being. Moved by compassion. The master of the servant releases him and the debt forgave him. That move with compassion, that's the emphasis. And the basis for what follows is from compassion, the innermost part of compassion. Psalm 103, verses 2 through 4. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Psalm 103, now verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Compassion was had, debt forgiven. Now that servant, Jesus continues, goes to another that owes him a pittance. I mean, owes him practically nothing compared to what he, the servant, owed the king. Grabbing and choking, pay me what you owe me. This fellow servant pleads for patience in paying back. But the one, pay me what you owe me. Please give me patience, I will pay you back. Pay me what you owe me. Off to jail with you and your family. I mean, that's what happened, Jesus says in his parable. I mean, he pleads for patience. The servant refused and threw his fellow servant in jail until the debt was be paid. Matthew 18, beginning now at verse 32. I mean, the other servants went and told the master what happened. And so now, Matthew 18, verse 32. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all your debt because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? I showed you great mercy, and you could not show a little mercy? What's wrong with you? Didn't you learn from me anything? Or another way it's written about in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. As Jesus said, when you pray, pray this. And Jesus included, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Jesus, being brutally treated, arms stretched out, pulled and held in place to drive the nails through the flesh, to secure his body to the cross, then raised up into the air to hang above the ground and secured on that cross wooden beams with nails piercing his flesh and then the upright piercing his feet. Agonizing, excruciating pain. And the words spoken by Christ Jesus are so out of place. Far from what we would have expected. Instead of vehemence lashing out at the injustice, we hear words of gentle compassion lifted up to high, on high. Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. In the midst of deepest anguish and worldly injustice, innocent man crucified. He who knew no sin became sin for us, and he's pleading for us. Father, forgive them. The one man who had no debt owed to the Father paid the debt for all of us, who owed an amount that we could never repay. Only the blood of the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, only the Son of God, who is called Christ, could be the atonement for sin. With such forgiveness shown to us, the ones who are the family of God, amongst the church, there ought to be forgiveness and should easily be found. Yet my eyes and my ears through the years have seen and have heard how unforgiveness happens way too often, even in the church, the family of God. In the one place on earth that forgiveness full of compassion, mercy, and grace ought to readily be found, sadly, it's not always found. Children's Hospital, years ago in Columbus, in the SIC unit, with a father standing by his young child's fast asleep in the bed in the SIC unit. I'm there in my blue coat with my chaplaincy badge standing with him. He began to tell his story, how he had done many things that were wrong, and he paid the debt to society for his wrongs. Yes, he had been in jail for his wrongs. He tried to go to church, but when they learned what he had done and why he had been in jail, things would go sour. Mercy, compassion, forgiveness, he did not experience them in the church. He longed to be there, but there was unwelcome. The one place to find compassion, mercy, and forgiveness didn't have it for him. That was the story he was telling me. The sadness in his voice and on his face, it was easily discernible. He went on to say that it was in AA. He received more grace, more forgiveness than in the churches he tried to attend. About that same time, I was up at camp hosting as the weekend host for a retreat group at LMC. They were down from the Gibsonburg area, an AA group. A gentleman who went by the nickname Big Bird was the leader of the group. He rode a motorcycle with a stuffed Big Bird attached to his saddlebags in the back, just showing his nickname Big Bird. Many in this group echoed the same words as that father in the SIC unit at Children's Hospital. The same father's sentiments. The one place they would expect to receive forgiveness, compassion, and mercy be shown was in the church. And they said, you know, it was sorely lacking in their brokenness. Peter asked, how many times must I forgive my brother? 7 times? In the AA group, the compassion and grace along with mercy, it's palpable. As they all experienced brokenness, and because of their brokenness, they all showed tender care. They truly cared for the others, and they wanted them to find that healing through forgiveness and that compassion. It was palpable. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Ephesians 4 helps us see it a little different way too, of putting off the old self and putting on the new self in this new attitudes of the mind. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Really let that sink in. If this came across all people's lives, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Forgiving each other. What would things look like if we really lived that out? Forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. This is one of the most important parts when I do premarital counseling. Forgive each other. It is essential between husband and wife. And I go on to encourage Sunday morning worship attendance together so you can hear that constant reminder, Christ has forgiven us. And as we have been forgiven in Christ, we forgive others. That is the basis of forgiveness. That is why we forgive. Forgive others as in Christ God has forgiven you. All those articles I read about you need to forgive because of reasons of health, only one touched on the basis of because we are forgiven in Christ. All the others were some mumble-jumble psychological, you just need to forgive. But they really didn't have the basis of because in Christ, God has forgiven us. Because in Christ, God has forgiven us. In marriage, forgiveness is essential. So too in the home life, forgiveness is essential, and it's exponentially essential in the life of a church, in the family of God. Forgiveness. I was at one church, the bathroom got painted. Oh, that bathroom really needed to be painted. Do you know what I heard the Sunday when people came in and discovered what the bathroom looked like? Boy, I hate that color of green. I hate that color. Why did you paint it that color? Instead of, oh my goodness, it looks so much better. I don't care what color of green it is. It looks so much better. I mean, arguments over carpet. I mean, exponentially essential in the life of the church family is forgiveness. Do we deserve forgiveness? No. We don't deserve forgiveness. Do we earn forgiveness? No, there's no way you could ever earn forgiveness. Because we see, despite of who we are, the faith shows us in Christ we are forgiven. In Christ, God has forgiven us. As such, we ought to forgive others. I mean, Psalm 103, David lays it out really well too, beginning now at verse 10. He, that means the living God, He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. As the Father has compassion on His children, the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Do we deserve forgiveness? No. Can we earn forgiveness? No. Don't make anyone you know deserve forgiveness. And don't make anyone you know earn your forgiveness. Forgive them. Why? Because in Christ, God has forgiven us. In Christ, God has forgiven us. You are forgiven in Christ. Go and be a person known as a forgiving person. Carry no grudges. Harbor no resentments. Let the bitterness go. Why? Because in Christ, God has forgiven us. Now forgive as you are forgiven. For Christ Jesus' sake, for the Lord Christ Jesus' sake, who died on that cross and shed His blood for you and rose, for Christ's sake, in who you are forgiven by God, for Christ's sake, forgive as forgiven. Amen. Amen.